This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
So we're speaking to Advocate Thabo Modisiyane on our Youth Parliament. And we talk about, like, where do you draw the line when it comes to basic human rights? And this amidst questions of foreign permits that are being pushed for a further date when it comes to permit exemptions. For example, the ZEPs, right? There's been a lot of social media outcry in the country with regards to the conduct of the MEC of Health in Limpopo, Dr. Poppy Ramathuba, where she was seen publicly addressing a foreign patient who is from the Zimbabwe, where we know that public health care facilities are safe, sufficient, and operational, and have become non-existent to the public of Zimbabwe. Most public Limpopo healthcare facilities have welcomed and treated more than 70% of Zimbabwe citizens who come through the Bait Bridge border and other non-legal routes to seek medical attention, such as surgical treatments, giving birth, and other treatments that are not affordable to citizens who access public health care in the province of Limpopo. So we want to understand from a legal standpoint, you know, where do we draw the line when it comes to basic human rights? You know? And who's basic human rights? It's a tricky one, as we've always said. You know, takes me back to that point that was made by the mayor of, why do I forget his name, who said, if I had a South African to save, if there's one machine that can save a life and I had a South African and a Zimbabwean to save, I would, Gayton McKenzie, I would choose a South African. And people were saying that's xenophobic, but whose basic human rights we talk about? Advocate Modisiyane, good morning.
Marara, good morning. How are you, my brother?
I'm good, and thank you so much for coming through to talk to us this morning. Appreciate it. And I mean, maybe first point, should the South African government, legally and otherwise, make some sort of prioritization on finding long-term solutions when it comes to the deliverance of basic quality services without facing legal threats or legal action in the name of human rights violation, because there's been a lot of talk about the Poppy Ramathuba thing as to, is she entitled, but is that also a human rights violation? Advocate?
Firstly, good morning to the listeners. I think to answer that question, the short answer is I do not think that the government should make any long-term plans or that they should bring about long-term solutions. And the answer is to be found in Chapter 2 of the Constitution. And we would know that Chapter 2 of the Constitution is the Bill of Rights, and the Bill of Rights is a cornerstone of democracy. And it enshrines the rights of all people in our country. The Bill of Rights is founded on three values, and these are dignity, equality, and freedom. And as you continue to read all those rights that are listed in Chapter 2 of the Constitution, you realize that almost all of them are given to everyone. Whether a citizen, a permanent resident, an immigrant, everyone who finds themselves in South Africa is entitled to most of them. The right to equality, to human dignity, to life, freedom of security, to privacy, free speech, education, the right of children, housing, health, a lot of them, except two or three that are to citizens, which are political rights, citizenship, trade, occupation, and profession. So I do think the answer should be that government should, within the reasonable limitations faced by government, such as budgetary constraints and whatnot, should try to make sure that those rights are realized.
Mm. But then if you look at it from this perspective of senior government officials, does it become different to them in comparison to an ordinary citizen who might find themselves in a similar situation where a senior government official is likely, and we've seen there's many a court case that are against people like the minister, you know, and the MEC for decisions that they made or might not have made in this instance. Does it make a difference when it's a high profile or a senior official in this instance?
I don't think it should make a difference. You know, Kwena, for me, and this is just my own personal opinion, just as a normal Thabo Modisanyana, I know I'm called here to provide legal analysis, but me personally, outside of what I do professionally, I do find that part of a bigger problem is caused by pandering and being nauseatingly nice. In that the laws are straightforward. In order for somebody to be regularized, if they came here without the papers, there are certain requirements that need to be met. For somebody to come here to begin with, they need to meet certain requirements. And those are properly listed in our legislation. But sometimes there are certain political situations, such as that which gave birth to a special arrangement in the form of the ZEP, as you referred to it earlier. So sometimes for political considerations, politicians have developed policy that is not necessarily born out of legal obligations, or that is not necessarily in parallel to the law. So what then happens is there are certain things that manifest from such things. And those things most of the time is either we do not enforce the law as we ought to, because we keep making all these other special arrangements around the law in order to cater for a temporary solution. And the risk is the law enforcement is not enforced as much as it ought to.
So, I mean, why then, advocate, is it so easy to find fault and threaten the South African government against legal action? Why do others find it that easy? Is it because of maybe the lack of clarity as to where we stand in such situations as a government?
Yeah, well, but for reasons I just gave, I do think that the lack of political willingness to speak to what the letter of the law says at all times is what sometimes leads to all these parallel streams of enforcing the law, where some people have to apply for permits, some people have a special dispensation for their permits, and we seem to be laboring under the impression that we need to remain loyal to our former anti-apartheid allies, whatever that means, and we apply the law differently to other people. That is why you have all sorts of manner of legal action faced by the Ministry of Home Affairs at present from everyone. And it's not just people from, it's not just immigrants from Africa. It's also immigrants from outside of Africa who want special treatment, who want this and that requirement being waived. But it is, I think, a manifestation of weak political will to stick by the letter of the law. And I'm speaking now as a legal practitioner. I mean, the law is very clear, and all we need to do is just implement the law.
0861-987-000, tweets at PowerFM987 or directly at Marara Mwabelo. In conversation with Advocate Thabo Modisanyana, we're talking about where do we draw the line when it comes to basic human rights and foreign, foreigners' permits, if I can call it that. So then that's my question to you, Advocate. Where do we draw the line? Where does the South African government draw the line when it comes to being hauled before the courts of law and having to hold legal measures, you know, that will, I guess, manage this sort of situation that is getting worse, as it were, you know, and you know, it's a daily occurrence, and it's causing a lot of frustration for ordinary citizens in South Africa.
For what I've already said, it is not very clear where the line is drawn. And I think that would also depend on the context. The line seems to keep on moving. But my answer to your question, quite frankly, would be we need to draw the line where the law says the line should be at. If you coming in and you're not a South African and you want to come in for whatever reason, the law provides for many categories of people to come into the land and be regularized. But for whatever reason, we seem to keep shifting, and this is just my own personal opinion. We seem to keep shifting in order to accommodate other considerations that are not legal considerations. As I referred to earlier, political considerations wherein we seem to try and appease former allies, but to our ruin, evidently, because sometimes these things have resulted in political strife in the country, where people are against fellow Africans for whatever reason.
Let's go to the lines. Sefudi, good morning.
Kofi, how are you and the guest there?
Good morning.
Well, what is prescribed? What is the prescript in the constitution are just mere aspirations. Because in most instances, there ought to be provision. You ought to provide for them. Now, constitution says you provide for this. Everybody has got the right, but there are financial and economic implications for that. If you can't provide for your own, are you going to provide for everybody that's here, that's even undocumented? In the Freedom Charter, they say there shall be no hunger. The land shall be shared amongst everybody. Is it being shared amongst everybody? These are just mere aspirations. Practically, you can't implement them due to certain constraints. And this is what we are experiencing. Now, to bring somebody somewhere there, that's why the UN did talk about immigration, but white countries did shape and alter certain prescript of the UN concerning immigration. We made an open-ended agreement with those people, and they don't provide for what they are envisioning. So it's just not possible. Good morning to you.
Morning to you, Sefudi. Advocate, let's hold it there. Let me take one more call and then we can respond to both. Joshua, good morning.
Morning, Mr. Kwena. How are you?
Good, and how are you, Josh?
Fine, man. I just want to add to what the advocate has said that regarding the non-implementation and enforcement of our laws. You know, Kwena, when a person comes to hospital as an illegal immigrant, that person is treated as he should be treated. He is treated, and then upon discharge, that person is released back into the community. He is not arrested for illegal immigration, because illegal immigration is a crime. He is not handed to the police. And then this kind of practice of not enforcing the law has resulted in the country, you know, becoming inundated with illegal immigrants. Now, the other issue, the ZEPs, Mr. Kwena, those were illegal instruments from day one, because when they were introduced, there was no public participation, meaning that the government did not seek the consent of South Africans for those ZEPs, because it is a requirement of law that when a government engages in a particular action like that, community, there must be public consultation. The communities must be visited, and they must grant their consent before such is actually authorized.
Mm.
And secondly, about the ZEDPs, when the ZEDPs were introduced, South Africa was unemployment was at 29%. The country was at the height of fighting HIV/AIDS. Our hospitals were inundated with our people seeking treatment. Now, the South Africans were not considered.
Mm. So
when these ZEDPs were introduced.
All right,
Mr. Gwen.
Yeah. So, okay, Josh.
And,
yeah, just quickly, we're out of time. Wrap it up for me.
Yes, Gwen. I want to corroborate the advocate.
Okay.
The government is not implementing the laws.
Thank you.
Simple.
Josh in Pretoria. Ntlantla, good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Gwena.
Sure.
And the good advocate. You are nauseatingly nice.
Mm.
It's too late, Horimani. I think there is, at this point in time, the only thing we can do really as a country is to just make Africa one big state, really, one big country, really, Southern Africa, and use those resources and find another settlement and work together as a people. Obviously, not in the way Malema says we should, but I think eventually that is what's going to end up happening. There are going to be people who are going to leave South Africa to go to other countries around for other business opportunities.
Mm.
But I think in this current climate, it's too late, Hosmani. There's just so much that we are tied in as a people for us to be looking and saying, Zimbabweans must go home. Mama must go home. It'll never happen at this point.
Santa in Pretoria, got you loud and clear. Advocate?
Yeah. Marara.
Yes.
Sifudi. I think Sifudi just echoes the frustration of normal South Africans and says that what the constitution envisages is mere aspirations. And the practical question is, can we afford it? I do think that the courts have considered the question of what is practically reasonable within the promises as given in the constitution.
Mm.
And I touched on it a bit earlier. I think it was with regards to the first question, that what the government needs to do is within the reasonable limits, try to make sure that the promises of the constitution are not an illusion. They're not a lie. So, for instance, you cannot say there was a court case in Durban where somebody claimed the right to dialysis machine and said that right is premised on the right to life.
Mm.
The government could not afford to keep him on dialysis forever at the expense of other people who had a higher prospect of getting recovering sooner. So what the court essentially said in that case was that government has a responsibility to bring to fruition the promises that are in the constitution, but obviously within the reasonable limitations such as budgetary constraints. What George said, I don't think I can take it any further than he has. And Kantla merely just made a comment that doesn't require me to engage with. Yeah.
Okay. So just finally then, I mean, as you've explained a few times, does it come down to, I guess, clarity in terms of how South Africa deals with this? And you see the tricky thing, advocate always says that there are those that are in South Africa legally who are adding value, who are, I guess, paying taxes and doing everything right. And then on the flip side, there are those that are in the country illegally. And I guess that is where the big problem is.
Yeah, well, I do not want to focus my opinions and my views on people who are here illegally or legally, because I do not know what on the other side would persuade someone to leave their home and come so far away from home. Much as my own father left home and lived in Guinea, Conakry and Tanzania for a very long time, and he came back only after 1993. So I do not know what persuades someone to do that. What I want to focus on is what the law says and what we need to implement. So insofar as immigration is concerned, I do think that the laws are straightforward and we need to do that, including those who come here as asylum seekers. We need to try and enforce the law, including the issues that pertain to labor laws, that pertain to all other issues where we end up with 8 women that were raped in the West Rand. Because we, as a collective, in our own different corners, we are not doing what we ought to be doing.
Advocate, let's leave it there. As always, thank you so much for coming through to talk to us. I appreciate your time.
Thank you, Moran.
Advocate Thabo Modisanyane talking to us. And I guess, you know, this has always been such an emotive issue. This has always been such an emotional issue, in that South Africans still feel, we still feel that something needs to be done. And I always say, spare a thought to those that are here legally. Spare a thought for those that are doing all the right things. I hear for the right reasons. I hear the right way, adding value.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.